Hey, welcome back. Steve here. This is Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, and I got a good one for you today. This is episode 87. It's a part of my classroom management series, and it's all focused on rules. Matter of fact, I'm talking 10 keys to rules for the classroom.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back. You know, in my classroom management series, so far I've talked about it's okay to start over, and I've talked about developing consequences, thinking in terms of, instead of punishment, thinking in terms of penalties. Well, today I'm going to talk about rules. More specifically, I'm going to talk about my 10 keys to rules for the classroom. And it's very important when we think about this that we understand that certain aspects about it, we got to have this management focus. And what I mean by that is the idea that we're trying to manage the way kids behave in the classroom, not discipline them into doing what we want. You know, the old concept, and you've heard me say this before, that whole idea, you know, like the pirate thing, the beatings will continue until morale improves, arr matey, there be rough waters up ahead. You know, what are you going to do, make them walk the plank or something? You know, the kids know that you can only go so far. You know, there are certain things you can't do to them. And so it's important that we recognize this and that we approach classroom management from the idea and concept of that word management. Manage their behaviors, all right? We're trying to get them to do what we want. And so rules fit very nicely into this thought because it is important for creating a good classroom environment that we create some rules that are enforceable and create boundaries so that the kids can get along together and be focused on what they should be doing in class. So with that being said, let me go quickly through the 10 and then we'll come back and say a little bit about each of them. So number one in my 10 keys to rules for the classroom, number one, know the difference between rules and procedures. Number two, rules are needed for creating a good, safe learning environment for all. Number three, you cannot discipline kids into changing their behaviors. Number four, keep rules general and short, no more than five, but really try for three, and always write them in a positive manner. Number five, your number one rule should be about respect. Number six, you must explain your rules. Number seven, know yourself. Don't ignore behaviors. Don't target one kid. Number eight, be consistent, fair, and just. Number nine, post so that all can see and copies are placed in their notebooks right along with consequences. And finally, number 10, when given the opportunity, practice what you preach. If it is your rule, then you need to make sure that you address the student who chooses not to follow it. And by the way, just as a note, some resources that you should take a look at. I strongly encourage you to take a look at Harry Wong's The First Days of School. He's got a more recent version of this. And specifically focus on chapter 18, starting with page 146. Brian Mendler wrote the book That One Kid. And ironically, I want you to take a look at chapter 18, page 80 in there, and that's a great place to start. In both books, they're chock full of great information about working with kids, but these two chapters are perfect out of these two books. I'll also include links in my show notes to these books as well as to the websites for both of these writers. So let's take a look back into the classroom again, and let's take a look at our rules. And what we're going to do here in just a minute is we're actually going to create what I consider to be better rules for a classroom. But let's start, number one, with the idea of know the difference between rules and procedures. Too often, I'll see what somebody will say are their rules, and there's like a list of 10 to 15, and in there are some rules about the classroom, things like be on time, but then there's also explanation on how to turn in your homework or something about how to line up properly to go to the restroom. You know, that there's those are two different things. Procedures are how you do things, and rules are about behaviors that you expect. All right, so it's important that you know the difference between rules and procedures. Number two in my 10 keys to rules for the classroom, if number one is know the difference between rules and procedures, number two is rules are needed for creating a good, safe learning environment for all. Kids understand this. And so when you talk to them about the rules for the first couple times in the classroom, make sure that you're explaining to them that this is about us all getting along together, because it's necessary to remind people that there are certain boundaries in the class. Kids understand. I don't care how young. You may have to choose your words a little differently, but kids of all ages do understand the idea that they want some boundaries. They want some guidelines on how they're expected to be in the classroom, and especially how their neighbors expected to be in the classroom. So, you know, it's important to remember that rules are needed for creating a good, safe learning environment for all. And say that to the kids. Don't keep it hidden. Number three of my 10 keys is you cannot discipline kids into changing their behaviors. Too often what happens when I work with a teacher who's brand new, or someone who has changed in careers and has come into teaching, or just a classroom teacher who struggles, one of the first questions they'll ask me is, tell me how I write somebody up. Oh, please don't do that. You know, that comes a long ways down the line. Let's first talk about how we try and manage kids' behaviors. All right. I just want to remind you that there is, you know, you can't really make kids do things. You want them to want to do for you. And that comes out of not the rules, but you connecting with the kids and creating relationships with them, you know, positive connections that make them buy into you before they buy into the class. Once you get that, then the kids do for you. And that's so important. So this, you know, thinking that you can discipline them into doing what you want them to do. Remember going back to the pirate thing, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Yeah, that isn't happening. And too often you see adults trying to do that, and they themselves wouldn't like to be treated that way. So just keep in mind that you're learning how to manage behaviors, and it's not about forcing them to do things. It's not a power struggle. It's not this concept of, I am the authority here, and you will do as I say. So there. Number four is keep rules general and short, and no more than five, but try for three and write them in a positive manner. Too often what I'll see is I'll see a list of 10 rules. That's too many to remember. That means that you're probably getting too specific, which if you've worked with kids, one of the things you'll know is that kids can get you into, you know, all kinds of stumbling, tripping over little sorts of things because you've gotten too specific with your rules. And so they'll say, hey, that's an example of this, or that's an example of that, or what if I did this, or what if I did that? Does that fall under your rule also? All right, that means you've gotten too specific, and it means you've got too many rules. So we want to keep them general. What I mean is that you want to say something like, be prepared. All right, said in a positive manner. It's very general, and I'm going to have to explain what I mean to them. But it's not too specific, which means they're not going to get all tied up in knots over some of the things that I might say or not say, which, you know, the younger kids usually get caught up in that. They, well, you didn't say this, and you didn't say that. Oh, rats, I didn't think about that one, you know. So keep the rules general and short and no more than five. But really, you want to try for three. And the reason why is that the more rules you have, it's too many. It's too long. Most of them can't be remembered then. Three can be remembered. Number five in my 10 keys to rules for the classroom, your number one rule should be about respect. If you make it about respect, let's say it says, be respectful, not don't be disrespectful, right at the other direction, be respectful. If your number one rule is be respectful, then when you explain your rules, you explain to them what disrespectful behavior looks like. For example, getting up and sharpening a pencil while I'm talking. Making fun of a student who's presenting. Not doing what you're supposed to be doing when I expected you to be doing it. You know, I know that's a lot of doings there, but you know, the point is that you explain this to them, what you consider to be disrespectful. Kids get disrespect. They understand what you mean when you say disrespectful behavior. So say it in a positive manner. We will be respectful. And explain to them what it means to, you know, what it looks like to be disrespectful. They get this. And if you make it all about respect, the kids understand what you mean. Because just about anything in a classroom can be tied back to respect. So if number five is your number one rule should be about respect, then number six is you must explain your rules. You have to take time and explain them, walk through them. If you only have three, it's not going to take you that long. If you have 15 to 20, that's too many rules. Nobody can remember them, and it's going to take you a long time. You'll probably even forget them. So if number five in my 10 keys to rules for the classroom is your number one rule should be about respect, well, number six is you must explain your rules. And don't beat around the bush. Just tell them like it is. This, you know, too often people get caught up in, you know, trying to explain things and, you know, and thinking they're saying what they mean to say, but they're really not. So be careful in doing that. So number seven out of my 10 keys to rules for the classroom is know yourself. And what I mean by this is so important, because if you're going to have rules in the classroom, where teachers who get in trouble or teachers who struggle in the classroom, especially with classroom management, they either do one of a few things. And one of the key components to struggling in classroom management, if you just want to flat out experience what it means to struggle, well, do this, which is ignore behavior. If you have a rule and you fail to enforce it and you ignore the kids that are late, let's say that you have something that says be on time and prepared for class. Well, if you have a rule that says be on time, be prepared for class, and you have a student who comes in late, the other kids are watching you. What's she going to do? Steve is late. Steve is way late, and he doesn't seem to have a pass, and he's gone straight to his seat. Oh, my goodness. And suddenly they're kind of like sportscasters going, Steve has entered the classroom late. It's a swift move that he's made directly to his seat, not looking at the teacher. And the teacher is not looking at Steve. But how could Steve get in there without the teacher looking at him and not know that he's there? I don't know. Could it be that the teacher is ignoring him? Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Some people need to be honest with themselves, and they know that they don't like to deal with confrontation, and it's just a lot easier just to let sleeping dogs lie. I hear that a lot. That is no good, because their kids are going, well, if I have to be on time, why doesn't Steve have to be on time? Huh? If I'm not allowed to talk now, why is Steve allowed to talk now? Well, if I'm not supposed to be standing right now, nobody's supposed to be standing right now, why is Steve standing out of his chair and you're just letting him stand there? Any of this sound familiar? Don't ignore behaviors, right? Because ignoring behaviors is one surefire way of helping you struggle in that classroom. Another suggestion under know yourself is keep in mind that sometimes what we can do is we get frustrated with some of the kids' behaviors, and by ignoring it, what we'll do is we'll hold it in, and then finally we've had enough. I've had enough! The person will announce to everyone, I've had enough, and now you're going to pay for it. You know, you may not say that part of it, but your actions show it, because suddenly Steve is the target of your, you know, of your attention. Steve, stop that! When Steve's looking at you going, what did I do? I don't know, but I'm not going to do it again. And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but sometimes an adult can hold it in. They ignore behaviors, and the behavior's just getting bad. You know, maybe they've been shushing the class. Shh, shh, shh. You know what I'm talking about. Shh, 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 shh. They're not dealing with the exact person who is doing all the talking or off-task behavior. And then suddenly, when they look up, Steve happened to has a smile on his face and looks like he's been laughing. Therefore, he must be the culprit. So, Steve, stop that. Not that I ever got in trouble like this, but I do remember one time when I got pegged in the back of the head with one of those little pencil cap erasers, and I turned around to see who threw it at me, and I was going to throw it back, and I got caught as I'm looking to seek revenge. That was just not fair. You know, to get in trouble and have, I could show the 2, 3, I don't think it was 4, but I'm pretty sure it was about 3 of those pencil top erasers that had been thrown at me. By my friends, mind you. Yeah, that would have... Not currently, by the way. That was in 7th grade. I remember that day well. You know, I got in trouble and the others didn't, and the focus all came on me, which was quite interesting. And, you know, taught me a very valuable lesson, which is, number one, don't seek revenge, or at least not where the teacher sees you doing it. And, number two, that it's definitely not fair, because usually the person who tries to strike back is the one who gets caught, not the original culprit. That's a lesson that you'll teach the other kids quite a bit. If Steve suddenly becomes the target of your attention and the kids in there know that Steve wasn't the one who really did anything. So they start going, better be careful, because the teacher really doesn't dish it out like she or he should. So let's move on. Number 8 is be consistent, fair, and just. Does that sound familiar? I just talked about that just a little bit. What the kids talk about is being fair. You address it in a manner that's fair. You know, don't just call on one person when actually there's 5 other kids in there that they need to be talked to about talking when you're talking. Or the idea that, you know, when you're shushing everybody and then you come back to Steve, you know, there were 10 other people who, if you're going to talk to Steve, you need to talk to the other 9. And the reason why I say this is because the kids are sitting there looking at you going, why is she always calling Steve's name? Why is she doing it that way?
I don't know. I don't want to get on her bad side.
You know, and they talk like this. This is part that leads to that mythological teachers picking on me type stuff, because some teachers, some adults do get caught up and they just everything it gets directed towards that one kid. Be honest with yourself. Have you done this before? You know, those of you who parents probably know what I'm talking about if you have multiple kids, because it's easy just to get frustrated with the one. And this time that one might be the innocent one, and it's the other one who's quiet and actually set up the other one. You know, not that those happen that often. So be consistent, fair, and just, because if you're going to enforce the rules, what they're looking for is for you to be just that, consistent. You've got to enforce your rules. Don't ignore behaviors. They're looking for you to be fair. Now, fair in a kid's eyes is a lot different than really the concept of the word. But fair means that, you know, they know that you're not ignoring some kids and letting some kids get away with it, and while other kids are held to a higher standard. And that in itself, if you think about it, when a kid sees that, then they're like, that's not fair. Why does he get to get away with that when I don't? Makes sense, huh? So number 8 is be consistent, fair, and just. Well, number 9 then is post it so it can be seen, and put a copy in their notebooks right along with the consequences. So up on the wall, it needs to be in big enough letters where it can be seen. It needs to be up there on that wall. It needs to be seen right there where everybody can see it, and you can remind them about the rules. Because when you introduce them to the rules, and referring back to my consequences show, when you introduce them to these, you're going to do this over several days so that then you can come back to it and say, hey, remember my number 1 rule? What was that? Well, one of the things that we have to keep in mind with this is that you do have to practice it, and they do have to be able to see it. And that way you do need to refer to it once in a while. Hey, Steve, so what was my number 1 rule? Now, don't do that in a way in which to embarrass him. Go up to him. If he's talking, come up next to him. Get in there. Use that proximity. Come down. Kneel next to me. Don't stand over me. Don't hover over me with your arms crossed. But come up next to me and say, hey, Steve, what's my number 1 rule? Be respectful. And what are you doing right now? Well, I guess I was talking. Right. And if you're talking while the presenter's talking, is that respectful? I understand. I'm sorry. Thanks. Let's focus on the presenter, okay? You know, and there's a simple conversation you could have right there. But, you know, you get the kids to recognize that it's all about respect. But, you know, one of the things you want is you want reminders in their notebooks as well as up on the wall so they see it. Written in positive verbiage, okay? Well, out of my 10 keys to rules for the classroom, number 10 is, when given the opportunity, practice what you preach. If it is your rule, then you need to address the student who chose not to follow it. There's nothing worse than having a rule. Nobody knows it. Nobody remembers it, including the teacher. And it's not enforced, or it's just totally ignored. And they're looking for you to enforce it. Because if you don't, then that tells them that nobody else needs to pay attention to it. And that goes back to number 8, which is about being consistent and fair and just. If you choose to enforce it now, but then later you don't because you'd rather let sleeping dogs lie, or you'd rather not disrupt the class, or you'd rather, I don't know, go swimming, you start daydreaming or whatever, or the old TV show Hogan's Heroes, I see nothing, I know nothing, good old Sergeant Schultz. You can't be that way in the classroom. So when you're developing your rules for the classroom, I strongly encourage you, no more than 5, only 3, and I encourage you to make that first one about respect. And so on my show notes, I'm going to post an example of them. If you search out there, you'll find some ideas, but oftentimes be careful what you emulate from other people, because oftentimes they'll confuse rules and procedures, as well as they'll try and be too cutesy with it. They'll get too specific, or they'll get too strange with it in a way in which you couldn't be consistent and fair in trying to enforce those rules. But you want to keep them simple. And so here's an example of a set of 3 rules for a classroom. Number 1, be respectful. I would then explain to them what respectful behavior is and what I see it as. Number 2, be prepared. So then I need to explain to them what prepared for class is. Do you want them to bring their book every day to class? Do you want them to bring paper and pen or pencil? Do you want them to bring some special dictionary or something, a special calculator? Do they have a electronic device that they've been assigned and they need to make sure it comes to class every day? Tell them what be prepared means. And then expect it. So when it doesn't happen, you're able to remind them, what's my rule? Be prepared. Are you prepared today? No, I'm not. And in the case of something like that, then you want to make sure that you have something to loan them. And, if it becomes something that this student is constantly doing, that's the type of thing. You make sure you call home and say, hey, Steve's come to class for 3 days in a row without bringing the following items. Can you make sure that this changed? Can you help me? And if you reach out to the parent, they'll help you. 9 times out of 10, I got to tell you, 99.9% of the times out of 100, you're going to get that type of help. And Steve's going to be bringing his stuff the next day. Well, if you have a rule like be respectful, be prepared, maybe you might have a rule about if you're a lab class, you might have a rule like follow all safety guidelines, something like that. Maybe you have a rule that says, be on time. Well, if you say be on time, you got to be ready to explain what be on time is, because I can guarantee you that they will have a discussion with you about, is on time just simply my foot in the door? Is on time I'm running in through the doorway? Is on time that I have to be seated? Is on time that I need to be in my seat doing the bell ringer or some other activity that you have for the period? You need to be ready to define what on time is if you use that one. Because kids will get you into those little fuzzy areas if you let them, right? So today I talked about my 10 keys to rules for the classroom. You need to have rules because you're trying to create that good, safe environment in which all kids can learn. And so my 10 keys to rules for the classroom are, number 1, know the difference between rules and procedures. Number 2, rules are needed for creating a good, safe learning environment for all. Number 3, you cannot discipline kids into changing behaviors. Number 4, keep rules general and short, and no more than 5, but try for 3 and write them in a positive manner. Number 5, your number 1 rule should be about respect. Number 6, you must explain your rules. Number 7, know yourself. Don't ignore behavior and don't target one kid. Number 8, be consistent, fair, and just. Number 9, post to be seen and copies are placed in your notebooks right along with the consequences. Number 10, when given the opportunity, practice what you preach. It is your rule, then you need to address the student who chooses not to follow it. And keep in mind, a good example and I'll have an example in my show notes, but a good example might look like this. Number one, be respectful. Number two, be prepared. Number three, follow the safety guidelines of the class. Or be on time. No matter what, those are three simple rules to explain and then for you to address. Kids understand it when you explain it to them why you have these rules, and it is so important to do that. Take a look at your own rules. Do you have too many? Are they easily remembered? Are they written in language in which the kids don't understand them? Is it difficult for you to enforce them? And actually, on some days, if you're honest with yourself, you really don't want to enforce your rule number 15, you know, whatever that might be. Analyze your own rules. Take a look at them. And make changes where it's needed. You're going to thank yourself for doing that. Have an awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.